Sports are our vehicle for our hopes, our dreams, our moral lessons, our values. And this idea that is now toxic, it's now tainted, it is now, frankly, less of a sport and more of a vehicle for gambling.
Introducing The Protectors, inside criminal minds from around the world. Presented by the IAFCI, leaders in safeguarding consumers from fraud and scams for more than 50 years. And now your hosts, International President Mark Solomon and Chairman of the Board Michael Carroll.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Carroll, International Chairman of the International Association of Financial Crimes Investigators. I am with Mark Solomon, our International President. Mark, how are you doing today?
Mr. Carroll, I'm doing great, and we may be breaking a record here today on the podcast. Folks, ladies and gentlemen of the Protectors Podcast Nation, we have with us today an author, a doctor, a superhero. I have to say, he's like a superhero. This man just stops at nothing to see. Declan.
My listeners, I want you to know my head is in my hands listening to this absolute malarkey these guys
the
are
the incredible
pulling.
Declan Hill is here with us.
All jokes aside, I'm not here as a superhero. I'm not here as anywhere. I'm actually here as a biblical prophet. I have returned from the desert.
You have.
I have got a beard going down to my knees, and I'm in a sackcloth and ashes, because for years I have said what you're about to hear, and people have said, you're wrong, it can't happen. I have said that there will be sports scandals. There will be numerous sports scandals coming to American sports. And for years people have said, oh, that's not possible. American athletes are far too honest, far too trustworthy. Those kind of things that you're talking about may happen in Europe, may happen in Asia, they may happen in fuddly-duddly sports like soccer, but they'd never happen in America. Well, guess what? We are awash with scandals related to sports gambling.
Declan, I saw you a couple years ago at the IFCI conference that was held in Las Vegas, and you had a guest, Tim Donahue, who got caught up in, was a former NBA referee, got caught up in gambling.
Yes.
What has evolved since then?
Look, the entire world, the entire geography of sports gambling has changed. And this is really what I want our listeners to bring on board, which is back in the day, sports gambling involved a human interaction of some kind. You would get into your car, get into whatever, and you would drive to a racetrack, and you would place a bet on a horse outcome with a bookie. At worst, arguably, you would go to a cafe or whatever. You'd have an illegal bookie at the back of there, and you'd place a bet looking into their eyes or on the phone. There'd be a human interaction. But now, in 2025, in this generation, you're just tapping away on the phone. It's called frictionless gambling, and it's deeply, deeply addictive. There's a research coming out of a university in Sweden which estimates that for some people's brain, it's 100 times more addictive than heroin. This is what's driving this new world, this new form of sports gambling.
As I was going to say, that's all related to sports gambling.
It's frictionless gambling. It's just tapping. So it's as if you're an alcoholic and you're walking around with a bar tucked into your back pocket as a sports gambling addict, and it's deeply, deeply addictive. And the whole business model of sports gambling has changed since Tim Donahue's time back in 2007, where you bet on the outcome of a game. Now the bookmakers and the betting companies are pushing towards what's called micro bets. That's every 2 or 3 minutes during a National Football League game or MLB game or whatever, you're betting on how far is the next punt going to go?
Right.
Is it going to be a field goal? And because what you're trying to do is get the gamblers into a state of heightened adrenaline. So every 2, 3 minutes, they're clicking on their phones. And that is deeply, deeply addictive. And it's just crossing America. It's having all kinds of extraordinary social impacts.
You know, I never thought of that because, like baseball, the next player, is he going to get a hit? Is he going to get a walk? You can make an out. You bet on that. You know, constant betting.
And Declan, there was a recent thing that happened here in this season in Major League Baseball where there was supposedly a huge increase in betting on a pitcher throwing a wild pitch.
Yes.
Just one pitch. And amazingly, he threw a wild pitch. And a lot of people benefited from that. And what's scary is Could this be used as a justification for a major league sports player? Now, I'm not accusing this player of being involved. Let's make that clear. But is this easier to sell if you are rigging games, if you put pressure on a major league player to do something where they're saying, hey, all I'm doing is throwing a pitch. It's not like I'm, you know, throwing the whole game.
Yeah, that is what that's what micro betting has got into, which is what I would call micro fixing, where the players, and this has been known around the world. We got a case happening in the English Premier League where a player purportedly took a yellow card deliberately. The Soccer Association was never able to prove that to anybody's legal satisfaction. But you have cases of the same thing happening in cricket. In sports around the world, you're having this kind of stuff going on. But the same kind of propositional bets driving corruption is happening in Major League Baseball. Certainly the MLB has suspended those two pitchers. But the poster child for this movement is, of course, Jonte Porter, who was a special player for the Toronto Raptors. Last year, his involvement with a bunch of criminal gangsters and gamblers was found. We now have the telegram messages back and forth from him to these guys. And he's quite clearly terrified. And he's saying, I understand that if I cannot pay back my gambling debts of $8,000, you will come to Toronto and you will cause me serious harm. Mm. That is the poster child of what is happening to athletes across American sports.
Yeah.
They're facing abuse from gamblers, and many of them are falling into this trap of making small propositional bet fixes.
Mm. I was going to ask you, are there other big name athletes out there that could be exposed, or is it more prevalent now than in the past?
Absolutely. So, look, some micro betting and betting on your own sport has a major problem in the NCAA. A Crimson Tide, arguably one of the best sporting universities in America, one of their coaches was fired because he was placing bets on his own games. Iowa and Iowa State had dozens of their players suspended. Some of them had made them into the National Football League. And they were falling into this trap of betting on their own sports not those guys at Iowa or Iowa State, but they were doing these propositional bets. And this is a major gateway into major fixing, the same kind of major fixing that we've seen in tennis, the same kind of major fixing we've seen in soccer and in esports. Esports is rife with all kinds of corruption and fixing.
Yeah. And I know, Declan, you and I both share something in a profession in the way that we're educators at universities. And, I go back to the Cressy's fraud triangle, where people are looking whether or not they should commit fraud or not. And it's opportunity, it's pressure, and the third is rationalization. And what scares me is when you bring up this micro-fixing, they're able to rationalize that much easier than throw an entire game, throwing a wild pitch, swinging at a bad ball. I mean, you bet on such little minute things that they still feel like they have their integrity because they're not throwing the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's unpack the Jonte Porter case a little bit more, because there's some interesting factors there. One is, if you look at that telegram message that we have, it's been revealed in court, where he's clearly terrified of these guys, and he's saying, I can't come up with the $8,000, so I'm going to do something. Now, Jonte Porter wasn't particularly well paid for NBA guys, because those guys, I think their median salary is somewhere around $6 million. I think he was getting something like $250,000, so $250,000 a year. To the rest of us, that's a great salary.
Sure, I'll take it.
And note that he couldn't get $8,000 out of that $250,000. In other words, he had spent all of that. He'd lost all his money. And this is the other thing that is kind of sustaining this tide of scandals, is the gambling addiction, not just among our people. And when I say our people, I mean our communities. Across America, we're having this tide of addiction that nobody wants to talk about. And for the investigators listening to this program, I strongly advise you, when you're coming in to do a financial crimes investigation, look for the gambler, look for the addict. Figure out in your cast of characters who's been to Las Vegas, who goes to Vegas more than once a year, who's obsessed with this. Take a look at their phones and see how many of them have betting apps, because this tide of gambling addiction is destroying the social fabric of America.
Yeah. Declan, do you think Major League Sports are doing enough to treat this addiction? within their players.
I'm sorry that our listeners can't see. I almost fell off my chair.
You almost did, yes.
Yeah, I was just like, no, come on, seriously. Look, to be fair to the sports leagues, there are individual investigators, there are individual people that are trying to do a good job. No sports leagues want to have this kind of scandal. But they're very much in the metaphor, if you don't mind me using it, of a meatpacking plant, and you've got potential tainted product coming out. Well, you don't want the tainted product, but you really don't want people to know about it. So there's a conflict of interest there at the heart of the sports integrity challenge. And what we need is independent regulators, same way that we have independent meatpacking inspectors from the government or from an outside agency. The problem with the sports integrity industry at the moment is you have bookmakers who are sponsoring the sports leagues. Sports leagues are paying data collection agencies. Those data collection agencies are providing their data to the bookmakers. So it's this circle of conflict of interest going on. So we need an independent regulator to protect American sports properly.
Declan, we had a recent guest talked about forensic accounting and embezzlement from their employer. And he gave one of the main reasons, right, Mark? One of the main reasons was because they were involved in gambling.
Of course. I'm sorry to say, of course, in that fashion. But the thing about another form of addiction, be it drugs, is you can only take a finite amount of drugs before you die. The thing about gambling is you're going to gamble until your line of credit. So all your salary is gone, be it $250,000, be it that football official who lost $22 million. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Declan, who are the other victims in these type of cases? It goes far beyond the money, right? I mean, a lot of these players, if they have gambling addictions, how does it impact other people in their lives?
Look, first of all, we could sit and run this podcast just throwing the names of addicted athletes back and forth. Phil Mickelson, John Daly, Michael Jordan, Wayne Rooney, Gianluigi Buffon. Our listeners can chime in with their own, be it Pete Rose or whoever. Athletes have a proclivity to becoming gambling addicts. In fact, the better that you are as a sportsman, the more likely you are to be becoming a gambling addict, because exactly the same type of personality traits, never giving up, obsessive, knowing that they can overturn great odds, make them great athletes. That's fantastic. Makes them lousy, terrible gamblers. And so you see a whole cycle and a whole circle of these young men, it's mostly young men at this point, who are addicted at the top of their game. They've lost enormous amounts of money in doing it. But I would answer your question by saying we're all losers, because sports are our vehicle for our hopes, our dreams, our moral lessons, our values. Get people together. Sport comes almost immediately, and the memories it produces and generates.
Yeah.
And this idea that is now toxic, it's now tainted, it is now, frankly, less of a sport and more of a vehicle for gambling.
Yeah.
So people don't think of those athletes as necessarily great potential heroes or villains. They now think of them in the same way that many people think of a horse running in a race. It's, hey, this is a vehicle for my gambling. That quarterback meets the spread or doesn't meet the spread. That is the pulling down of sports, and that is the ruining of our great ideals and vision.
Yeah, we're losing the purity of the game. And for me, it's an escape. It's a medicine. You know, you might have a bad week. You had a long week. You're not feeling that great. You know, it gets your mind off of all the bad stuff for a little while. I'm a big Yankees fan, a Giants fan, you know. I grew up in Connecticut, and like I said, I watched that game, and I forget about my problems for a little while. But now, with what you're exposing and showing the public, it changes a little bit. It changes. And I say, you know, is that player doing their best? Are they doing something because they're indebted to somebody else? You know, and then I think about their families, their children. What are they going through? You know, here's a sports figure that might be making millions of dollars, and then they can't even pay an $8,000 debt.
Declan, let me ask you this. You're talking like the next generation, there's going to be a lot more problem gamblers. What about prosecution? Is it hard to prosecute somebody that might get caught up in something illegal with gambling?
I think, first of all, we need to have an adult conversation that gambling, specifically this new form of gambling, this frictionless gambling, is desperately and deeply addictive. And it can destroy communities and can destroy individuals. There's some great research by a couple of American academics. They've looked at the rate of house foreclosures and car repossessions, and they've risen by as much as 50% in states that have legalized gambling.
Wow.
This is the quiet problem of sports gambling that's going across America. And I'm not suggesting that we should criminalize it, but I'm saying that we should start by having a conversation. Here's another factoid. There are at least 55,000 teenage gambling addicts, not 55,000 teenage gamblers who've gone into a book market or placed a bet, but 55,000 kids under the age of 18 in the UK that have already destroyed their mind because they become pathological gamblers. Now, that figure is the figure that the bookmakers agree on. That figure of 55,000 15 or 16-year-olds could fill Yankee Stadium. Mm. But the critics,
problem is bigger.
The critics, yeah, of the bookmakers are saying 55,000. You kidding? It's like four times as much.
Right.
It's like 250,000
right,
of our young people who've already been hit by COVID, have already been hit by social exclusion, have already been pushed away into their screens, into their phones, away from human interaction, and now they're being dragged into gambling. This is a big, big, serious issue that we have to address as a society and a community. And it has to begin with an adult conversation. Like, this is a new form of addiction that we've never seen before, and we've got to regulate in a new way.
And Declan, you know, when we think of gambling and the history of gambling, we think Casa Nostra, the Italian mafia. What you're seeing out there, is it the same groups, or are you seeing different groups now? Are there different criminal organizations that are getting heavily involved in this?
Joe Pistone, aka Donnie Brasco, the greatest undercover agent, in my opinion, in the FBI's history, who infiltrated the Bonanno and Colombo crime family, has become something of a friend of mine. And I remember he and I were talking about this one time, and I said, Joe, and from your experience inside the mob, which is bigger for the mob, sports gambling or drugs? And Joe Pistone just started laughing. He said, "Are you kidding? It's gambling."
Right.
You do a drug deal and it's like maybe a lot of money, but you do sports gambling, it's every single day. And when those guys lose, and they always inevitably lose, you get to take away their business, you get to take away their house, you get to take away all the cash they ever had. So it's massive for organized crime. But I would say that at this moment, the problem that America faces and American sports faces is deeper than just outside figures of organized crime. Another statistic that will shock, I think, many of our listeners is that there was a study done, presented at the House of Lords, which is the British unelected parliament, a couple of years ago. And they showed that the Main Street bookmakers, the legal guys in the UK, were getting 86% of their profits from 5% of their customers. That is hunting for the addict. That's identifying the addicts and driving their profit motivation off that. So that's not organized crime. That's the totally legal guys. We have to have a conversation about this in America to make sure it doesn't happen here.
You mentioned micro-fixing is now a lot more addicts related to that, gambling addicts. But what is a next-generation scam that you see that law enforcement isn't prepared for?
Well, how easy it is to money launder with sports gambling. I can't think. There must be some way that's easier to money launder than sports gambling, but I don't know of it. And for all the investigators out there, let me now tell you how to do it. Criminals, please switch off your receivers so that you do not know how to do
this. I don't think they will, though.
So if you want to money launder with sports gambling, just bet on both sides of the game, because one of them's going to win. And yeah, you might lose 10 or 20% in the odds differential between the Yankees and the Red Sox, but either the Red Sox are going to win or the Yankees are going to win, and bingo, you've just washed your cash. And you've got a great thing saying, here, I won this money in a gamble. Bingo, you've done it. You've money laundered. So please tell me a house deal, a used car, a meat packing, whatever, that's as simple as just placing bets on both sides of the game.
Sure.
Criminals, you can now start listening again.
What about Asian organized crime? Obviously, we see a lot of activity surrounding casinos and their involvement there and targeting individuals, like you said, that are addicted. Are they getting into the sports world as well?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. Look, it's cultural. I'm on thin ice. I don't want to say something inappropriate,
sure.
But I come from an Irish background, and it's very difficult to think of a festivity or event in a social, cultural life that doesn't involve drinking in some way. And I've got various alcoholics in my family. It's just known. There's no surprise in that. I think many of the listeners will sympathize or empathize with that. Same thing in the Chinese community for gambling. It's very difficult to think of a Chinese social event like New Year's or whatever that doesn't involve some kind of gambling, and gambling addiction is rife. Organized crime in Asia, as you guys know, my first book was about how I infiltrated a gang and traveled around the world with them as they were fixing major sporting events. So Asian organized crime is huge in this field.
Not too long ago, Declan, we were at the IFCI conference, and a lot of conversation there was on AI, bots, and crypto. Are the fraudsters using that to launder money or manipulate betting lines?
Yeah, those are tools. People get hung up on them. I'm like, yeah, of course they're going to use some form of crypto to pay, same as they'd use cash and other things. But yes, they do.
So Declan, you talked a lot about young teenagers and young adults that are getting involved in this. If there's family members out there that are struggling with this, they see that their son or their daughter's addicted, what can they do to get help for them?
Well, I think it's hugely important that they reach out to gambling counselors to get this conversation. There's a group in the UK. I genuinely do not want any of our listeners to ever belong to this group. It's called Gambling with Lives. It is the parents of children who've committed suicide because of sports gambling. And they reckon they, in the UK, they can have one or two new members every day. There's a picture on their website of some of their sons and daughters, and it is heartbreaking. These are beautiful young people with big smiles, garrulous, happy, sociable. And this is the problem about gambling addiction, is that it gets the very best. It's not like drugs where somebody who's depressed or whatever is more vulnerable. This is the ones of the big-hearted personalities. So I would take this form of addiction extremely seriously. Yes, there's very few people who are actually talking about it. This kind of conversation, I really thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah.
I'm really honored to be here. But I really want our listeners to know, gambling addiction is extremely serious, and very, very few people are talking about this in a proper way. Not suggesting that we criminalize gambling, but we have to start having these conversations.
Yeah.
Declan, can I ask you, these online sports gambling sites, is there something they can do better to prevent people from becoming addicted?
Again, I get back to this realistic conversation theme of our interview, Mike, and I would just say, if you were to pick up a pack of cigarettes, you know immediately that you're picking up an addictive product. It's still your choice. You can do it, and you know what will happen to you in terms of health issues or whatever if you become addicted. But you know it. You've got a moment of choice, and that's why we regulated the alcohol industry. We regulated the cigarette and tobacco industry. That same kind of regulation needs to happen to the sports gambling world, where if you place a bet, if you get into this world of frictionless betting where these bookmakers are trying to get you, suck you in to tapping your phone and going through your credit cards, at least you've made an informed choice. But the reason why I'm here, guys, the reason why, again, I think you guys are incredibly gracious to have me on, is that we can begin to have this conversation. This is addictive. It's deeply addictive. And let's start by having that. And let's start by regulating bookmakers to openly address that addiction.
Declan, thank you for sharing this important message. And I just want to let our listeners know, if you are struggling with an addiction or sports gambling, if you are a family member seeing another person's life being destroyed by this addiction, we are going to put a bunch of resources out on our show notes. If you need help, please get it. This is not what should consume your life. And again, we want you to get help. And I also have to say, Declan, I am just so amazed by you. You are just a different type of investigator. Some people are afraid to go down certain alleys and dark holes, but you have no fear. And you talk about this because it needs to be talked about. You know, your Crime Waves podcast, your books, everything. You shine light in the darkness. And like I said, not many have that courage.
Look, if you don't mind, let me share you a story about my personal motivation, if that would be all right with you.
Absolutely.
My grandfather was a small-town surgeon up in New England. Most people think of me as a Brit, but I'm half American. And on December 8th, 1941, he walked into a recruiting office. He was you know, my age, and he was in mid-50s. And he said, nobody does that to my country. Nobody attacks my country. He had 3 children. He had a wife who was furious that he did this. And he went off with the 7th Fleet and was at Iwo Jima and Okinawan before he was invalided out. And I asked him, he was an old man when I knew him, my grandfather, and I said, why did you do it? And he said, you don't do that to America. You don't do that to my society, my community. And I look around America now in 2025, and it's not the America of my grandfather. It's an America that has been hit by wave after wave of corruption and grifters and thugs, financial criminal thugs that have attacked the American people. So in no way am I equating my work with my grandfather's, but I will say I'm equating his motivation to make this place better.
Yeah.
So I do it for him. Thank you.
It's the war within America, and like I said, you are fighting to save America, so God bless you, and you carry the torch of your grandfather in everything that you do. So, well, Mike, I'll tell you what, can we just get Declan on like every episode?
How about it? You can take my spot, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Listen,
good, you know,
he is a humble man, but he shines the truth.
Absolutely.
And our listeners are better off being able to take information from this incredible person. So, hey, Mike, if we want our listeners to subscribe, where can they find the podcast?
Well, I like to go to Spotify. That's where I go to listen to all my podcasts. We love to have you on board. Love having new listeners join the fight. Like Declan said, join the fight. We need protectors out there to protect our citizens. So come on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, pass it on, get the word out. And folks, there's some of you that have been through something like this, or maybe another fraud or scam or, you know, gambling addiction. Reach out to us. We'd love to share your story. If you're a subject matter expert like Declan Hill and all the others that have been on this podcast, reach out to us. We'd love to get you on the podcast and do an episode with you. Just send us an email at protectorspodcast@iafci.org. And again, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. You know what? It's time to sign off. So I am Mark Solomon, president of the IFCI, signing off in the great state of Connecticut.
And this is Declan Hill. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
And this is Mike Carroll, international chairman from Chicago. I'm signing off.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Remember, as you join the fight to protect our citizens, you're not alone. With more than 6,500 members from around the world, the men and women of the IAFCI are standing together with you. To learn more or to join the IAFCI, please visit our website at www.iafci.org. The Protectors Podcast is produced by Modified Media and is available for free wherever you listen to podcasts. The hosts and guests' opinions are their own and do not reflect those of management, employers, or sponsors. Listeners are encouraged to contact law enforcement if they suspect being a victim of a crime.